I'm excited to be back. And you know, coming back and now Thanksgiving is only, listen, 4 days away. Thanks. Can you believe that? Thanksgiving 2020 is 4 days away. Christmas is 33 days away. It's hard to believe that we're here. It's been a crazy year. I mean, to say the least, this morning on the way to church, I was listening to the Christian on Sirius Radio. I was listening to The Message. And as I was listening to the music and between songs and as the DJ was talking, a couple of times just in the short ride to church, they mentioned how stressful 2020 was and how difficult this year was. And I don't have to tell you that this has been a weird year. And, you know, when it was crazy because when we started 2020, you know, 2020 is that year that you sort of wait for. You said, this is a great year. Sermon series, man, you know, talking about having clear vision, heading this direction, 2020. And it just didn't turn out like that at all. It's been a stressful year, and I don't have to tell all of you that, but we've had to learn to do life in unfamiliar territory. So I thought about what to preach about over the next couple weeks as we talk about Thanksgiving 2020. And today I want to talk to you about handling being thankful in stressful times, because I think all of us could use that this morning. And you know, we've had a crazy year. We've had to learn to live life in a different kind of environment. The pandemic has changed the way that we do most everything. It hasn't stopped. And we hear on these reports of numbers increasing and all that, and we don't know what's coming and what they're gonna tell us to do, but it's changed the way we do most everything. It changed the way we did church. You know, we did church online for a while and all of that. And by the way, those of you that are watching online, hey, it's good to see all of, well, I really can't see you, but you can see me. It's good that we're together again this morning, and hopefully you'll grab some friends and tune in. We're excited that you're watching. And then we had civil unrest in our country. You know, it just escalated, and there were just some difficult things that we all had to navigate there and still are navigating. And we have one of the most, you know, crazy presidential elections and contentious presidential elections in my lifetime, and we're still working through all of that. And then on top of that, the holidays are now coming, and you know, things have been canceled, like the Thanksgiving Macy's Day Parade. I mean, that's a tradition at our house. I mean, Lauren and I, since you know, Nancy's in there cooking Thanksgiving and all that, and Lauren and I, since Lauren was a little bitty girl, we would watch this parade together. Now we get to watch it with her and our grandkids, and now this year it's all gonna be different. It's so another change that's come from all of this. Football games. I don't know if you're a football fan, but I'm a college football fan. And it's the weirdest thing, watching a football game and there's nobody in the stands, a few people, and then they've got these cardboard cutouts of people and they've got fake sounds. You know, somebody scores a touchdown, everybody roars. There's nobody there to roar. And, you know, and they're doing that. It's just absolutely weird. And that's been crazy. And now we're entering this holiday season, and I don't have to tell you that the holidays brings with it Thanksgiving and then Christmas as well and New Year's, a lot of stressors, a lot of things that make us stress out anytime this time of year. You know, and this year with COVID, you've got family members that maybe they're a little older and they're not too sure about being around everybody because of this. And they're the people that, quite frankly, you know, when we all get together, we really, you know, relish those moments with those older members of our family that have, you know, been there and held us together. And even sometimes some of you may not have the person show up that cooks the bird. Okay. And so, you know, it's really a tough time. And you know, a lot of people don't want to travel, and it's just going to be crazy. And there's a lot of stress on all of us. And you know, when there's that much stress in our lives, and we've been dealing with it for a long time, and now we add all of this, you know, sometimes it can be difficult to be thankful, to remember that we have a lot of things to be thankful for, and to be thankful. So how can we be thankful? How can we be thankful in stressful times? Well, this morning, I picked out a passage that I believe is very helpful, and it's very practical, and it's really very simple. But sometimes things that are simple aren't easy to do. And so this morning, I want to encourage you to listen, to follow along in your Bibles if you've got them. We're going to be in a book of the Bible in the New Testament that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. It is the letter to the Philippians that we have in Scripture. And we're going to be looking at chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. So I'm going to read this, then we're going to come back and we're going to look at it, break it down, see what it says, what we can learn from it about being thankful in stressful times. So Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. Paul writes these words. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true and whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received, Paul says this about himself, he goes, what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that we're here. God, we thank you for this Thanksgiving season. We thank you that this is Thanksgiving week. And I pray, God, for every family, every person that's represented here, that they will have an amazing Thanksgiving. And God, I pray that it's just as normal as it can be, because we need some normalcy. Things have been crazy over this last year. Father, we thank you that you've been with us. We thank you that you're with us this morning, that God, that you can speak to our hearts through this word. So I pray that you will open our ears, that you will open our minds, you will open our hearts. We will receive this. God, I pray that you will make me really small and that you will make yourself really big today. And God, we pray that in everything that we do and everything that we learn, that it pushes us forward to advance the kingdom and to bring you glory. We pray this in the mighty, matchless name of our Lord and our Savior and our soon coming King. And his name is Jesus. If you agree with me, say amen. Amen. All right. Well, this morning, as we look at this passage, there are a few things here, three things that I'm going to bring out of the passage. There's a lot more stuff in this passage, but for the sake of being thankful in stressful times, for the sake of being able to do some practical things that can help us be thankful and help us maybe reduce a little of the worry and the stress in our lives that we've all been facing and that we continue to face, I'm gonna focus on this morning and bring out just a few things. Here we go. If I can be thankful in stressful times, one of the things that I'm gonna have to do if I'm gonna be thankful is this: I'm gonna have to quit worrying. I'm gonna have to quit worrying. You know, worry is something that affects every one of us, isn't it? Worry is something that we all deal with. Things come into our life that make us worry. Maybe it's an illness. Maybe it's the illness of a loved one. Maybe it's something financial, or it's a family problem, or it's an issue with a child. There are things that come into our life. It's a natural part of our human existence that we worry. But one of the things that we cannot let happen in our lives is we cannot be consumed with it. We can't be consumed with worry. It's hard to have a thankful attitude when you're consumed with worry. You just can't do it. You see, when we worry about all kinds of things. As I said, we can worry about finances, jobs, relationships, you know, just all kinds of things. But it's not a good thing when we're consumed with it and when it drives our life. Anybody know somebody that they have the gift of worry? Some of you got the gift of worry? Anybody has that gift? You know, I know I love my mom. My mom is my mom. I love her to death, and mom's been a great mom to me all of my life. But my mom worries a lot. I'm 64 years old. My mom called me, or I can call my mom, and she'll tell me, son, it's cool this morning if you got your sweater on. I'm 64. You know, I'm like, yeah, mom, I got it covered. It's all good. But mom worries, and she's always worried. Son, now listen, I know you're the pastor of Heartland, and there's a lot of people there. Son, you don't need to ever go back to church for the next 10 years because there's COVID. You understand that? COVID's coming. And it's got you. Okay, it's going to get you. And I said, mom, it's already got me. I'm good. Okay, it's good. I've been bitten by the bug. Okay, so here it is. But let me just tell you some things about us not worrying, about quit worrying. Three things I want you to see. And this is from my life experience. One thing is this: worry is just simply not helpful. Do you know that? Have you ever thought about worrying? I mean, really, it's not helpful at all to worry, to live there, to camp out there. Listen to this. Luke, in the Gospel of Luke wrote these words. He said, and which of you, he's asking this question, and there's an implied answer. He says, which of you, by being anxious, by being worried, okay, can add a single hour to his span of life? The implied answer is none of you can. In other words, what good does worrying do? It does nobody any good. Nothing gets accomplished by worry. I don't know in my life of ever seeing a problem solved by worry. I've never seen it, but a lot of people worry. And so it never accomplishes anything. It never solves anything. Worrying about the past will not change the past. Worrying about the future will not shape the future. But I tell you what worrying about the past or worrying about the future will do. It'll make your today miserable. It'll make your today miserable. It's just unhelpful to worry. And another thing, when you worry, I want you to think about this. This is critical. When you worry, you get consumed with worry. And this thing gets on your mind. And you think about it all the time. And then, so what happens is your energy, your efforts, all the things that you should be focusing on productive things with, all those things get consumed with worry. And let me just ask you this. How many of you know this is true? You don't have to raise your hand, and I'm being transparent. But you know when you're really worried about something and it's on your mind and you can't quit worrying about it and it's just sort of consuming you? The worry gets bigger and bigger and bigger because you start making up scenarios about the outcome of your worry. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, this is probably going to happen. It may be the most remote, weird thing in the world. It's probably going to happen. This could happen. I'm telling you right now. And so your worry just grows and it grows and it grows. And it's just something that we shouldn't do. It is unreasonable to worry. That's the next thing that I've learned in life is it's unreasonable. One thing that worry will accomplish is that it will exaggerate your problems. And that's what I just talked about. It'll make them bigger than they really are. You get to thinking about it and making up stories about it and going to the worst place that you can possibly go with it. Your imagination runs wild when you're consumed with worry. To worry about something that you can't change is useless. And to worry about something that you can change, well, that's just not smart. If you can change it, change it. Don't worry about it. Just change it. Worry is not reasonable. And another thing, listen to this. Matthew 6:34 says, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." That verse says, listen, you don't need to worry about tomorrow. You don't need to worry about the past. Every day's got enough trouble of its own. Can I get an amen? Amen. Every day's got enough trouble of its own, doesn't it? I mean, you wake up every day and you got stuff to deal with. Deal with that day. And so we can't worry. It's unreasonable. And I'm going to go a step further. And one other thing that I've learned in my life is that worry is unhealthy. It's unhealthy. When you are filled with worry, then you get this anxiety and you get stress in your life. And we know it's not even, this is an absolute fact. They have proven it medically that when you're filled with stress and anxiety and you're filled with worry all the time, it's not good for your heart. There's heart problems that come from that. You get backaches from it. You get tension from it. You get ulcers from it. You lose sleep over it. But it's just not helpful to worry. You know what the old English word for worry is? What the meaning is? To choke or to strangle. Ever been there? Boy, it'll choke the joy out of your life, won't it? Boy, when you worry and you're consumed with worry, it'll choke your energies and take them away. It'll make you feel strangled and like you can't accomplish anything. And you'll get down in the dumps and you can just go into a downward spiral and it can become a really bad thing. Now, hopefully you can see from all this that there's a problem with worry. We shouldn't be doing that. And the very first thing that Paul tells us, the very first thing he says is, do not be anxious about anything. Don't worry. He says, don't worry. The second thing Paul says is, I don't want you to worry, but here's what I do want you to do. I want you to make prayer a priority. I want you to make prayer a priority. Look at this. He says in the second half of verse 6, but instead of worrying, instead of being anxious about everything, in everything, underline it, circle it, bold it, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know, the first thing that you and I should do when something comes into our life that causes us to worry or to begin to be anxious and distressful, the first thing that you and I should do is the first thing we should do is go to God in prayer. We should take that situation to God in prayer immediately. But my experience in life says that's not what happens a lot of the time. Very often, the first person we go to is Uncle John or Aunt Susie or our cousin Vinny or our mom or our dad or our brother or sister, whoever it is. We go to everybody in the world with the problem and start trying to figure it out. And then the problem continues to grow because nobody's God and nobody can help you really in a lot of things. They might give you a little good advice, but it grows and it grows and it grows until you get to a point to where you hear people say this, and you've said it yourself and I've said it myself and I'm not proud of it, but I guess we need to pray. There's nothing left to do but pray. Have you ever said that before? You should never have to say that, because the first thing you should do is pray. Get God involved in your situation and your circumstance. That's the first thing that you need to do. Get God involved. When you get God involved, that says, I trust you. That says, I know who's in charge. I'm not doubting you. I know that you have the power. I know that you have the wisdom. I've placed my eternity in your hands. I'm going to place this situation in your hands. I trust you. That's the first place. Matthew 6:33 says to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then the rest of life will be added to you. The first place you and I need to go is to prayer, but we don't do that. I mean, if we're just honest, you know, we really don't do that probably. You know, some people may, but I've been guilty of that before. I start trying to figure it all out, and it usually gets worse. So we need to go to God in prayer, and we need to pray with thanksgiving. When we pray with thanksgiving, that means we pray with confidence. That means that when we pray to God, that we know, we trust, and we have confidence in God, that he's got our back, and that he's going to come through, that he's going to take care of us, that he's bigger than we are. He knows more than we know. He knows the number of hairs on our head. He formed us together and knit us together in our mother's womb. He knows everything about us, and no matter how big our problem is, no matter how bad it is, like the song that Nancy and Daniel sang a moment ago, there is Jesus. And when we go to him, he can take care of it. And we need to do that. The reason that people become worried and anxious and dwell on worry and anxious, all of us are going to be faced with worry. Something pops up. Oh, I'm worried. But I go to God and ask him to help me. But if I dwell on it, the reason people do that is because they don't really trust God. If you think about it, we don't really trust him. We say we've put our faith in him. We say we've put our trust in him. But deep down inside, they fear that God isn't powerful enough, isn't big enough, will not come through. Or have you ever been guilty of this one? You don't think he'll answer your prayer the way you want it answered. I have prayed so many prayers in my life, and I'm going, God, I'm praying, and I really want you to answer this prayer this way. And then in the back of my mind, I'm kind of figuring he's probably not going to. And I'm like, man, you know, I want him to do this. But I'm just going to tell you, God knows what he's doing. The Bible says his thoughts aren't your thoughts and his ways aren't your thoughts, that they're higher than ours. He knows, like I said, he knit you together in your mother's womb. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows how your life is intersected with somebody else's life. And he knows what goes on in your life here is going to affect that person over there. And whatever he comes up with and however he deems the right way to answer your prayers is the right way. It's the right way. But we're scared sometimes to pray because we're afraid of what God's going to do. Well, let me tell you something. God's will is going to unfold. And it's best when you align yourself with his will. But people don't, they become worried and anxious. And you know, and I tell you, God sometimes doesn't answer things the way you want him to. I think I told this story before, but I mean, I dated a couple girls when I was young, and I just thought they were the one. And I said, oh, God, this is the one. Please let me spend the rest of my life with them. I saw some of those girls lately. And I've seen them with their husbands, and those boys are whipped down and beat and just look like him. And she's just cracking that whip and all that. And I'm like, thank you, God, for not answering my prayer. Except when I married Nancy. Everything's just jam up and jelly tight. And she told me to say that. No, I'm just kidding. I just, no, I'm just kidding. Okay. But you know, we got to understand that we need to make prayer a priority. Because, you know, thankful prayer, like he's talking about here, affirms God's sovereignty. It says to God, you're a big God and I'm a small person. And you're in control and you have my best interest at heart. You guys remember this verse when we studied Romans? It says in Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that for those who love him, okay, and who have been called, so those that have a relationship with Jesus, listen to this, all things work together for their good. So even when prayer doesn't necessarily work out the way that you prayed it, it's working together for his good, and we can be assured that it's all gonna be good. So I quit worrying and I make prayer a priority, and then I change my thinking. Listen to this, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. He's just simply saying, hey, and the thing you need to do is you need to quit worrying, you need to go to God in prayer and trust God and get rid of your stinking thinking. That's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, now let me just make something perfectly clear. If you know me and you've been around here for any length of time, I am not a proponent of the power of positive thinking. Yes, thinking good things, we're learning about it in scripture right here, is good. To dwell on the positive is a good thing. But the answer to your life problem is not the power of positive thinking, it's the power of a positive savior. That's the answer to your problems in life. But right here we're told, okay, well, if you're going to quit worrying and you're going to pray, then get all this negative stuff out of your mind and start thinking about good things. Paul says, if it's not true, then don't welcome it into your life. If it's not noble, if it's not right or pure or lovely or admirable or excellent or praiseworthy, don't let it find a home in your heart. Don't let it there. Instead, think about whatever's true. Think about whatever's right. Think about noble and whatever's pure and all those kind of things. Think about those kinds of things. Think about what's praiseworthy. Think about the fact that God loved you so much, he sent Jesus to die on a cross to forgive you of your sins. And if you put your faith and trust in him, you have eternity with him in heaven. Think about the fact that when you place your faith and trust in Jesus, that the Holy Spirit of God indwells your being and he gives you power for living life day in and day out. And you're sealed with the Holy Spirit and you get to spend your eternity with God. Think about those things. Put those things in your mind and put the other things out. And remember that God's in control. And then the result, listen to this. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's describing this tranquility of your soul that only God can provide. You know, I don't know about you, but in life, there have been a lot of things that have come along that the only peace that can do me any good is peace that passes understanding. It's peace that I don't get, peace that I don't understand. It's when God gets involved and does what only God can do. The world, the scriptures tell us, the world, Jesus even says, he goes, I bring you peace. He says, the kind of peace that I bring you, the world can't give to you. So many people I know in my life, they're looking for the world to bring them satisfaction. They're looking for the things of the world. They look for money, for prestige, for power, for influence. They look for all these things to bring them some kind of peace. I've got some news for you. The world's never gonna bring it to you. You're always gonna be looking. You're always gonna be scratching around. You're always gonna be trying to find that peace. You're designed to have a relationship with your Heavenly Father. And when you align your life with his, then peace that passes understanding can come your way. And that's the only time that peace can come our way. John 14:27, Jesus is talking. Listen, I just quoted this. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace, Jesus says, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you, because they don't even compare. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. He says, listen, when you put your faith and your trust in me, and when you quit worrying, and when you talk to me about it, and you pray, and you get this mess out of your mind and you start focusing on me instead of the stuff that you're going through. When you do that, he says, listen, the peace of God which passes all understanding, that's what I'll give to you. I'll give my peace. And I don't know about you, but that's what I want in my life. I need peace that passes understanding. It only comes from Christ. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Don't worry. Don't worry. When you have that kind of peace in your life, and when you get the things that we talked about today, as simple as they are, you can be thankful in the most stressful times. All this mess that we've faced in 2020, all this junk that we keep hearing about, all the fussing and all the fighting and all the upset people, and it seems like the world is just about to explode and it's going absolutely crazy. I decided a number of weeks ago that I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. I don't care. It's not that I don't care, but whoever our next president is, I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Because let me tell you something. A president of the United States can influence a country, but he's not God. And the Bible tells me that God appoints them, and God can put them in and take them out and do what he wants to. You know what I'm going to keep doing? Telling people about Jesus, helping them grow in their relationship with Christ, and helping people become the best version of themselves that God has created them to be. If you will do that, you can have peace that passes understanding. And you can enjoy Thanksgiving. And if somebody starts talking about some of this junk at Thanksgiving, throw a drumstick at them. Just hit them with that thing. Just throw it at them. Father, we thank you so much. God, that we can have peace that passes understanding. We thank you that in the midst of stressful times, in the midst of things that are out of our control or things that are within our control, God, that we don't have to worry because you are in control. And God, if we'll quit worrying, if we'll pray, and God, if we'll change the way that we think, God, according to this passage that Paul penned in Philippians, God, if we'll do these things, we can have peace that passes understanding. And that's my prayer for every person and every family that's here today or represented here today. Father, we have to have a relationship with you in order for any of this to work. Your word tells us that the only way that we can have a relationship with you, God, is through your son, Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. The only way to you, God, is through Jesus Christ. So it's my prayer today that if there is a person that is here that does not have a personal relationship with you, that today, God, you've spoken to their heart. Today, you've gripped them. Today, you've made it known in their mind, in their soul, in their heart, and down inside of them, that little place that only they know about, you've let them know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you need a relationship with me. And it's my prayer that if somebody's experiencing that today, they're feeling that today, God, that they know that you're doing this in their life, that they respond in the affirmative. Listen, you say, God, that if we will confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in our hearts, God, that you raised him from the dead, that we will be saved. If there's a person here today that needs you, I pray they will do that. Listen, if you're here today and you desire a relationship with Christ, you close your eyes right now and just pray with me. And if you're genuine and you're sincere and this is coming from your heart, we have the promise of Scripture that God will save you. Just say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. God, I've lived my life with really, without you in it. But God, today I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. I'm asking you to take away from my being all the things that have disappointed you, that have broken your heart, the sins I've committed against you. And in the best way that I know how, with my knowledge of you and of Christianity and of the Bible and all these things, the best way I know how, right now I'm committing my life to you. In Jesus' name. You prayed that prayer. We're going to be standing up and singing a little bit. And if you would just slip out and make your way to the back, we have some people, they have little lanyards on, and they can pray with you and talk to you about your decision if you wish. Maybe you need to come up to the crosses and put a prayer request on the crosses. We pray for those each week. Or maybe you're here today and you are a believer. But the fact of the matter is you're a worrying believer. And you found out today that's kind of a contradiction, that we need to quit that. And there are some things we can do so that we can trust our Heavenly Father. Hey, if you've trusted him with your eternity, he can surely handle the details of your life. So I don't know what you need to do today. Would you do whatever that is? And listen, hey, one more thing today. I want to mention this. Earlier, Pastor Chad mentioned the compassion boards that we have up, and we're trying to adopt these children. We've got 67 children adopted. We want to get to 100. That's our goal as a church, and we want you to help. It's $38 a month to sponsor a child. If you take a card, make sure that you fill it out. Make sure that you don't take it home, lay it on a table, because that's the only child for that card. And if you lay that card down, that child won't get a sponsor, and you cause the child more harm than good. But if you would do that. And then in June, we're planning on taking a trip. And we, all the kids that we're adopting are all from the same region in El Salvador. So literally, if you go on that trip, you'd be able to see the child you adopted. Or if you're not able to go, somebody in the church can take a selfie and take a letter to them or whatever. But help us out, get to our goal of 100. Stand with us now, and let's continue to worship and do whatever God leads you to do.